So in Chile, you had three distinct shocks. This was really the first place where Milton Friedman and the so-called Chicago Boys were able to impose their textbook ideas. They weren't able to do it in the United States. Nixon, when he was elected, Milton Friedman was convinced he was going to get the chance to bring his, what he called a liberal revolution, a free market revolution, to the United States, but it didn't work because Americans didn't want it. And Nixon ended up becoming, in Milton Friedman's words, the most socialist president the United States has had in the post-war period because he imposed wage and price controls. He did it to win an election because these policies were not compatible with democracy. And when he did it, he was almost as popular as FDR. He won 60% of the popular vote, and then he was impeached. But it was because of, as he said, we're all Keynesians now. So Nixon threw Friedman a bone, and that bone was Chile. They had a laboratory where they were able to test these ideas. They also had a group of roughly 100 Chilean students who had studied at the University of Chicago. You know, Seth was talking earlier about the importance of training young people having a new generation of public intellectuals. Well, let me tell you, they knew this at the Chicago School in 1957 when they created what they called the Chile Project to take on the so-called pink economists of Latin America. And they trained up this generation and they went home to wage a battle of ideas, and they lost miserably. They lost miserably, as the 1973 election of Salvador Allende showed. They couldn't win a battle of ideas. All three major political parties in the 1973 election in Chile supported nationalizing the copper mines. They were off the political map. They came back with tanks. They rode in on Pinochet's tanks. The second day of the coup, every general, every member of the junta, had a document that they called the brick because it was so thick. And what it was a neoliberal economic program that was basically a reiteration of Milton Friedman's Capitalism and Freedom. It was everything from privatizing Social Security to charter schools, to tax cuts, to free trade. And they did it all. They did it so fast that Milton Friedman came up with a new name for it. He called it shock treatment. That was the second shock. The first shock was the coup. And while the country was still reeling, they were hit with the second shock, the shock treatment. And just to make sure that people stayed in line, there was a third shock, and that shock was torture. That was the bodily shocks inflicted on the bodies of labor organizers, of soup kitchen workers, of members of left-wing political parties. It was a warning to the whole culture. We are seeing the same triple shock formula imposed again. In Iraq, we had a war that called itself shock and awe, that was designed specifically as a psychological program as well as a military program. It was followed immediately by the most ambitious economic shock therapy program ever attempted in any country. That was Paul Bremer. When he wrote in, he bragged that Baghdad was still burning when he passed the flat tax law, 15% flat tax. And one of his undersecretaries said, the whole Republican party in the United States is jealous of your tax law. This was a great comfort to Iraqis. And when people resisted, they met with that third shock. They met with that third shock and continue to this day. Now, many of us do know this history, but we sort of, it's kind of blamed on, oh, those, you know, Latin America is a violent continent. That's why it happened there. They're human rights abuses, but it didn't have anything to do with the economic program. And we heard this narrative when Pinochet died this past year. Terrible man, human rights abuser, but did wonders for the economy. There was no connection made between the two. And of course, the movement that had claimed Chile at the time as a laboratory quickly tried to forget this embarrassing incident, much as Hollywood stars tried to forget their early soap opera work. Latin America was an embarrassing glitch in the era of Thatcher and Reagan, the democratic, the moment where the movement was imposed in Western democracies. Well, Thatcher's case is interesting. It's interesting because for her first 3 years in office, she really wasn't able to impose any of these policies. She tried to. She became so unpopular that she was less popular than any leader had ever been in the history of opinion polling. In 1982, she had an approval rating of 25%, less than Bush, and her political party had an approval rating of 18%, and they were a year away from elections, not looking good for the Thatcher Revolution. And they hadn't done anything. They hadn't done any of the major privatizations. They hadn't busted any of the unions, and they were heading straight for defeat. What happened? Well, in Argentina, they put the flag in the Falkland Islands. And actually, it was the Argentine junta that was trying to save their own project by doing this. Borges, at the time, described the dispute as two bald men fighting over a comb. Because nobody really wanted those islands. But the islands were useful to both regimes. The junta in Argentina thought they could use anti-imperialist sentiment to save their regime. And Thatcher thought that she could have a last blast for British Empire and save her neoliberal project, and it worked. Not since September 11th's renovation of George W. Bush has a political leader been so renovated by war. She went from 25 to 59% in the polls, sailed to victory in the 1983 elections, and at that point busted the miner strikes, busted the blue-collar unions, and pushed through the most radical privatization spree ever attempted in a Western democracy. Was that peace and democracy? Thatcher relied on these shocks, on the exploitation of crisis, to push through policies that were clearly rejected by the majority of people.